have the great privilege of hearing from Dr. Dan Gallant, and Dan is here with, I guess it would be half of his family, right? Dan's wife, Heather, is expecting, and she is due August 20th, and so she couldn't make the trip. She's in Phoenix right now, and so Dan's two daughters and son, his daughters Emma and Claire and Levi are here, and last night we went to dinner, our family went to dinner with them, and Dan, he'll tell you more about the story, but he's a Miami grad as well, so that's, you know, the high quality individual. But we were talking, and Dan graduated a few years before me, and so I told his kids as we were all eating dinner, and I said, so your dad he's way older than I am. And then Dan said, but also much better looking than you. So, so you know, I guess you can be judged, but we are really blessed to have Dan Gallant here. He's going to tell you all about what he does, his ministry, and his work in Tenwick, Kenya. But the scripture, I'm going to read the scripture, and then we will have Dan come up. So if you would pull out the insert in your bulletin, the scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and it's chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's my joy and privilege to be here with you this morning and invited to speak at your church. As Pastor Dave mentioned, I've got half my family here and am thankful for them being here with me, but also for this opportunity to just share with you a little bit about our story in the context of the scripture that Pastor Dave had mentioned from Philippians. And this has really been a concept, this concept of incarnational ministry, which has been the driving force behind what we do in Kenya. And what I want to challenge you all this morning at your church is to also consider and think about engaging in what is called incarnational ministry. And I'll explain more about that later. But here's a picture of our family. We have five children and one on the way. God has blessed us in a way with a second family, with a little daughter who is 1.5, almost 2. And then we're expecting another daughter in another month. So we are blessed with girls, 4 girls and 2 boys. We have been at Tenwick Hospital in Kenya since 2008. And let me give you an overview of the hospital. And backing up a little bit as well, I like to tell stories. I think we all like to hear stories too, because that's a way of connecting with one another and with truth. And that's the way Jesus did a lot of his teaching as well, is with the telling of stories. And I have a lot of stories from the work that we've done at our hospital. But we're at a mission hospital called Tenwick in southwest rural Kenya. The hospital was started in 1930, and it's since grown into a tertiary referral center. Even though we're in a rural area, we have some major subspecialty services at our hospital. Of course, I do orthopedic surgery, but we also have cardiothoracic surgery, where they're doing open heart cases. We have a full general surgery and urology and OB-GYN, So you can imagine we have patients that come from all over Kenya to our little 300-bed mission hospital in rural southwest Kenya for their care. We have a surgical referral area of 8 million people. So it's probably double the size, right? If Columbus has a population of around 4 million, we serve a population that's double the size of Columbus with one hospital. The majority of my patients as an orthopedic surgeon comes from road traffic accidents. And if you've done any reading recently or know anything about world health, this concept of road trauma and trauma in general is really becoming the new epidemic around the world. They're considering it on par or as much of an issue or more as HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis. And they're predicting that in the coming years there will be more death and disability related to trauma than all other communicable diseases. So we are overrun by trauma patients. And here you can see my favorite guys. These are the Boda Boda or motorcycle taxi operators, many of whom are less than age 20, have no training whatsoever, and carry sometimes 4 and 5 people on their motorcycle at a time. So they provide a lot of business for us. This is the region in Kenya, rolling. It's just a beautiful area. It's high elevation rainforest, as I was explaining to Dave this morning. There's only a few areas in the world. We're at 7,000 feet just on the equator. So although the days are 12 hours, nights are 12 hours, our days are very temperate, where it gets to be about 75 to 80 degrees every day. And the primary crop around our region is tea, and I'm sure some of you enjoy Lipton tea. We have Lipton tea companies all over our area. And this is an overview of our hospital. It's in a very congested, crowded, although rural area, a high population density. This young man, his name is Eric. This is an example of the types of patients that we see on a regular basis. He's in his mid-20s. He's a laborer, a mason, who lays block. And he was up on a third-story scaffold, bending over to temper his mortar. When he stood up, he became very dizzy, lost balance, and fell 3 stories off his scaffolding onto his bottom. And as a result, he suffered... I don't know if some of you who may be medical in here can read this, but this is a CT scan of his spine. He had a fracture of the spine right at the level where the spinal cord ends. Thank God he was not paralyzed, but he was completely disabled, unable to walk, in full pain, and hurting, without any funds. He came to our hospital, and thanks to God, we also have a lot of tools in our toolbox that we can use to fix problems such as this. So he ended up with a posterior instrumented fusion to fix that spine in the correct anatomic way. The very next day after surgery, this is why I'm so thankful for our hospital, he was up out of bed, walking, and just praising God for his healing. As Dave mentioned, I went to Miami during the days where we were the Redskins. And since then, we've become the Miami Red Hawks. But this was a real instrumental time in my life. I became involved with Campus Crusade after becoming a Christian after my freshman year of college. And a man by the name of Roger Hershey took me under his wing and began to disciple me. And this is where this concept of incarnational ministry began to take root in my life. Because here was a man who could have been doing anything else with his career, but he chose to live and work among college students at Miami University, pouring his life into us young guys with a hope and prayer and passion that we would someday go out and serve and do ministry and disciple ourselves. So this man, Roger Hershey, taught me about grace. He instilled in me a passion to serve and to even do ministry as my career. I had some twists and turns in my life after graduating from college. I knew I was called to full-time ministry, but I didn't know in what context. So I started Trinity in Deerfield, Illinois, with the idea that perhaps I would be a pastor someday. But instead, I got hooked up with this man by the name of Dr. Paul Hebert. And he was another person who was instrumental in my life as a discipler and as a man of God, who instilled in me more understanding about this, again, this concept of incarnational ministry. He actually wrote a book and taught a class at Trinity by the same title. So here's the definition. Now, if you're thinking about it from an anthropological or cultural standpoint, this is kind of the original definition of incarnational ministry, which is intentional interaction with a new culture. It's a new culture. It's like what we're doing in Kenya. We are Americans from our culture, and we're going into a new culture to build a relational bridge over which the initiator can genuinely love the other and communicate the relative contextual message of the gospel. Now, that's more involved, but we can break it down so that this is very practical for each one of us, no matter what our station is in life. And this is where it ties back to Philippians chapter 2, in that Jesus, who was God, who is God, chose to come and be born in the flesh, to live among us, to serve as a humble servant, and to eventually be obedient, even to the point of death, where he died for us on the cross. That is incarnational ministry. So I call it ministry that is personal, proactive, and persistent in the lives of the people that God puts in our path. And this is what I mean by blood, sweat, and tears. Now, for me, as an orthopedic surgeon, I see a lot of blood. And I see a lot of sweat because our operating rooms are about 90 degrees. So I usually come out completely soaked from head to toe. And then tears. As you're working, you all know this, as you are working individually, personally, with the people that God brings into your life, as you're discipling, you really engage in real life. And there's heartache with that sometimes. There's living times where you will share tears with those people. After finishing Trinity, I really felt the calling. My wife and I both felt the calling at that point to do full-time, long-term medical missions. So after taking 5 years off from Miami, I took the MCATs and applied to medical school and ended up back in my home state of Ohio. I grew up in Mansfield and attended the Ohio State University for medical school. My wife and I say that our years in Columbus were the golden years. They're just a beautiful time, and we lived in Clintonville. I don't know if you guys have heard of Clintonville, but it's a distant second to New Albany, but still a great place to live. And then after medical school, felt this calling to join the orthopedic residency at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So that's where I did my training, while the kids basically played in the snow all the time. It's a very cold place. Then we ended up at Tenwick Hospital. This is in Kenya, as I mentioned. This is a picture of our new monument that was just put up to celebrate 50 years of work and ministry. It may be hard to see, but on there is Tenwick Hospital's mission statement. And this is the mission that my wife and I have also felt like we can hold on to this. And I just want to share it with you piece by piece with some stories to give you an idea of what we're doing there. And this is it. Tenwick's mission statement is compassionate healthcare, spiritual ministry, and training for service. That's what it boils down to. And for us, this is our way of doing incarnational ministry in the calling that God has given us at Tenwick. And if you look at what Jesus did in his life and work here in the world, it was in a way similar. In Matthew 14, 13 and 14, says that when Jesus heard what had happened, and that is that when he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This was a major part of Jesus' incarnational ministry, his God in the flesh ministry to us as humans, was he touched our diseases. He touched the diseases of the people that he interacted with. He didn't heal everybody, but it was a major part of his work. And this is why we feel at Tenwick that we are joining with Christ in this ministry. Now, our motto is, we treat, but Jesus heals. That's our motto for what we do at Tenwick. And we recognize that as human physicians, we can only do so much. We use the wisdom and the knowledge that God gives, but ultimately the healer is Jesus Christ. In order to do compassionate health care, we need a team. There's no way for me alone to practice orthopedic surgery by myself. We do more than 2,000 orthopedic cases per year at our hospital. Our operating rooms run 24 hours a day, and we do at least 6, sometimes up to 12 cases per day with the work. So this is my team that God has blessed me with of Kenyan surgeons, nurses, residents, interns that work with us to accomplish our goal of doing compassionate health care. This young lady, her name is Achu, I guess like a sneeze, but she is a beautiful young lady from South Sudan, and her story is just incredible. She was at the time 13 years old, living in very remote rural South Sudan. And she says that she was wrestling with a friend, which I suppose is reasonable. But we do hear sometimes some stories that don't quite jive with the injuries that patients have. But she unfortunately suffered a broken leg in which the bone was sticking through the skin. And we call this a compound fracture. But being completely separate from any kind of medical care around her, she essentially resigned herself eventually to the fact that she was just going to die because she had no one to help her. Her father was an alcoholic. Her mother died of HIV, and she had no hope left. So after a few weeks, she just literally crawled in bed and waited to die. But several months went by, bones still sticking out of her leg. When she heard that there was a medical camp, a mission medical camp, which was going on about a mile from her very teeny village. So with renewed hope, she literally crawled a mile and got to this medical camp and was examined and found to be very, very ill at that time. Infected bone, very sick systemically, needing urgent medical care. So this team airlifted her out of South Sudan and brought her to our hospital. Now, let me just warn you, the next slide has a little bit of medical picture in it, so if you don't like to see that, you don't have to observe it. But it's an example of what we saw in the operating room. This was the bone that was just there. It was just sticking out of her leg, and it was very simple for us just to remove it, to clean it, and to wash it well, and to get her on the way to healing. The x-ray next to it is amazingly, during that 3 to 4 month period where she was in bed, the bones themselves actually healed in a very anatomic way. And so the Lord was even working in her life before she came to our hospital. She was left with a rather large hole that eventually with time filled in with regular tissue. And I can report that today she's completely normal, walking, beautiful young lady who gives glory to God for the work that was done for her at Tenwick Hospital. The second aspect of our mission statement is this concept of spiritual ministry. And again, trying to follow Christ's incarnational model of ministry that he sets forth and that Paul explains in Philippians 2, that when he went from town to town, He preached the good news. He communicated that there is hope and healing as people come to him and drink the living water. So a large part of what we do is try to use medicine as a bridge to share the gospel, the good news, with our patients. And this young man, his name is Jack. He's a DJ. That's what he explained to me. He loves music in a larger town in Kenya. Has had no interest in Jesus or even exposure to the gospel. He was on a motorcycle with a Boda Boda rider when their motorcycle slammed against a truck, and he unfortunately fractured his ankle and left him with a very bad open wound, which was not healing at all. Someone sponsored him to come to our hospital to receive care. Long story short, he basically now is completely healed and his bones are knit back together and he's walking. But more importantly, through his time at Tenwick, he was there for several weeks. We had the opportunity daily as we rounded to just share with him about Jesus and what God had done for him by bringing him to our hospital and how God was healing him through the medical care that he was receiving. And very humbly and very passionately, I saw this young man just give his heart to the Lord and then grow during his time that he was at Tenwick. We try to follow up with these patients and make sure that they get plugged into a good community and church as they leave. And then finally, this concept of training for service. My wife and I, during our second term, we were really asking God, what's the core purpose for us being missionaries overseas, for us bringing our family and having them grow up in a place that's not their own? And we were asking God to really make that clear. And what he showed us was the importance of this concept of discipleship. And I'll explain a little bit more. But from a medical standpoint, the reason I have this picture up here, which shows this gross imbalance between the heavy and the light, is that there is a tremendous imbalance between available medical care, physicians, resources, and facilities in the developing world compared with what we have here in the U.S. Let me just give you an example. I told you about our catchment area of 8 million people. Well, imagine for a country of almost 50 million people, there's only 50 orthopedic surgeons. That's one orthopedic surgeon per 1 million people. That would be 2 to 4 orthopedic surgeons for all of Columbus. There's a great disparity. The Mayo Clinic, where I trained, for this town of 80,000 people, there were well over 300 orthopedic surgeons. So we feel a passion and a responsibility to be involved with training. And not just training Kenyans and Africans to then go off to Europe or America, what we call brain drain, but training Kenyans for the neediest parts of Africa. And really, who are the best missionaries? In any country, it's the people that know the culture and that are part of the culture, much more than myself. So at Tenwick, what we do is we train medical students and interns and residents in the practice of medicine. So our training involves both general surgery and orthopedics. And here's a slide of our current classes. We have a total of 13 residents right now. Most of them are from Kenya, three of which we just started our orthopedic training program. Three of them are orthopedic residents, so they are specifically getting their training in orthopedic surgery. And the fellow on the left, his name is Fasto, F-A-S-T-O. It's the perfect name for an orthopedic surgeon. He's got great hands in the operating room, and he's from South Sudan. We know from the news of all the wars that have been going on. And in this small, brand new country of 8 million people, there's only 2 orthopedic surgeons. So if we can get him through his training and we graduate him as a full-fledged orthopedic surgeon, then he will go back to his people, back to his home, and work to bring good orthopedic care to the people of that area. But as I mentioned, what's more important, and this is what I really want to communicate to all of us this morning, is for what training for service means for us is really the concept of discipleship. We know that this is the model that Jesus gave us. When he came, he chose the 12. He chose a group of people that he could pour his life into. He could teach and train to do the same things, he said even greater things that he did as he left the world and the Holy Spirit came and filled them. This is the model that I know many of us have also been greatly affected and ministered to by. As we've had older and more mature people speak truth into our lives as they have worked with us in helping us grow in our faith. And so, in addition to the medical training, we are very passionate and we see this as our primary purpose and calling is to disciple and minister to the trainees that come to Tenwick. And for us, it's just a blessing just to see lives transformed as we work with people. This is our recent retreat that we had as a group of residents and consultants where we had a guest speaker from the U.S. come in and talk to us about reconciliation and forgiveness, which is a huge issue for Kenya, South Sudan, and that whole region. So what's next? God willing, we're hoping to expand our orthopedic services into a freestanding orthopedic hospital. And we've been given approval from Tenwick and from our mission agency to begin the process of raising funding and awareness for the need for an orthopedic facility that provides the best possible care for all of East Africa. But again, what I think as we look at the scripture, as we see the example of Christ, what I want to encourage you all with is not everybody is called to do long-term, full-time missions in Africa. A lot of people joke that, oh man, what if I say yes to the Lord and he calls me to the deepest, darkest part of Africa? That happens to be where he's called our family. But he has a calling that is specific and separate for each one of us. And you don't have to go somewhere in order to be incarnate in your ministry, to be a discipler, to be with people that is in a way that's purposeful and personal and proactive and persistent. God's going to call each one of us in a different way. And it's just a matter of listening to what he's saying. Perhaps it's for you right here at New Albany Presbyterian, calling up somebody that God has laid on your heart and saying, hey, can we meet? Can we pray? Can we grow together as we study the scripture? Maybe it's stepping out and saying, I want to be involved with teaching a Sunday school class or being involved with a community type of ministry, being involved with the school around here, with the prison ministry. I think that's fantastic that you're having a guest speaker who's in charge of correctional ministries coming next week. There are a myriad of ways in which we can all be involved in discipleship and in incarnational ministry. We just have to open our eyes and open our ears to hear what God is saying. Now, for some of you, that may be a calling to do foreign missions. And if that's what God is laying on your heart, pray for you. I say, go for that. And let God cultivate that heart and that passion. For my wife and I, this was something that he put on our hearts before we were even married. And then as we came and grew, God led and directed us in that way. We are really dependent upon a team of people who would work with us and partner with us in many ways. There's ways to partner with us at Tenwick Hospital if this is something you feel God calling you to do. There's visiting. There's short-term trips that people take. We have many physicians. If you're a physician and you have an interest in getting involved with a work at a mission hospital, I invite you to come and talk to me afterwards. Some people feel that their way of partnering with this is through financial support or through prayer. And this is just some links up here that you can check out as you consider joining our team at Tenwick Hospital. But I just want to just thank you for this opportunity to share and just encourage you that following the Lord and really, as Jesus has preached so often, leaving behind the things of the world to follow hard after Him, that it is so worth it. The gospel is worth it. The joy that God gives through oneness with Christ, through being called, is so worth it. The world does not compare with the joy of following after Christ. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. I want to again thank you for this opportunity to share. I hope that it's been informative and encouraging for you. And just again, invite you after the service, if you have any specific questions, I think there may be a Q&A time. My kids will come to that too if you have any questions for the kids, but we'd love to speak with you more. So why don't we pray and just thank God for this time.